Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1152. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Got a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about
About
yourself?
yourself? Oh, it's after WrestleMania season. It always seems to be busy in these parts after WrestleMania season because it does seem like more times than not. It is also cut season in the WWE here. And yeah, Vince not being in charge anymore has not changed that and has maybe made that even worse.
It's really probably about the same, or and it's I don't think it's any worse this year than in many previous years.
Yeah, so at least the ones that we've gotten to this point, and these are all NXTers from what I can tell. Francois Prince Lou, who I just don't even, the name just doesn't even track. Trill London, same thing. Sierra Linton, never heard of him. Chris Island, never heard of him. Malik Blade, heard of him, haven't seen him on TV in quite some time. Only a surprise just because he's finally, I guess, officially cut. I almost feel like they were hanging that man out to dry. Luca Crucifino, not surprised. The new gimmick does not look like it was going to be good. And they never really put a whole lot of faith in him and Stax being a tag team, you know, and I
No, that was never really much of a thing after the family blew up, and yeah, not surprising. Also, not surprising, a lot of these NXT people who were recruited in any way, never didn't come up through the indies, so they're not gonna wanna go that route now. So deciding just to retire from wrestling.
yeah, that is definitely what Mr. Crucifino decided to do. And it was the one last NXT name that maybe is worth a little discussion here. Tyra Mae Steele, LFG season one winner.
Yes, LFG season one winner, Olympic gold medalist, I want to say.
Yes, that is correct.
Got a cup of coffee on NXT in a mixed tag feud with Chelsea Green and Ethan Page. Showed nothing. Let's just, I mean, very green, but still, showed nothing. I'm just gonna be brutally honest there. This
I have
LFG.
no idea. Like for all the LFG people, she really did not get much of a push on NXT. Like, I feel like
No.
the other ones they have really just consistently kept on putting on TV.
Yeah, there's definitely been some, obviously
So,
Keanu Carver and oh God, what's his name? Oh God, I hate my, the other big guy.
I just had his name and now I'm blanking on it because they just had the feud because the other
Yeah.
one was defending Booker T because I'm trying to buy
I'm
myself
charging my phone across the
time.
room, so I can't look at it. But whatever. And yeah, this LFG thing, I not an overwhelming success by any stretch of the imagination to begin with. Now we're cutting winners. I believe there are like a few people that were on the NXT or developmental cut list that are on this season of LFG that pre-taped, obviously, that have been let go.
Did not realize that
And
part.
this is also the season that The Undertaker and Michelle McCool bailed on being coaches. So it's just like that was like the show's biggest hook was having The Undertaker as a coach. And now that's gone too. So it's just like what even is the point of this show? What is it accomplishing?
I saw that Kevin Owens is gonna be on there. I'm like, I'm kind of half interested just because I like Kevin Owens more than anyone else that has been involved in this
Yeah, and he'll
situation.
be funny and brutally honest, and yeah, he might add on it. He would have been good on Tough Enough in the day, but yeah, this LFG
No.
thing has just I don't I've never really gotten it. I've never really watched any of it beyond the clips they show on WTV.
Oh yeah, I have not in any way gotten into it either. Like I it's one of those, I feel like I put enough WWE content into my viewing habits that LFG does not need to be on that list.
No, it definitely does not.
You
It's down
know,
there with
like
Evolve, yeah.
it's kind of funny that I'm like, yeah, I'd rather just go ahead and watch an indie show rather than doing, dedicating time to something like that. I guess I did forget a couple other NXT names here. Tyreek Igwe, Tyson DuPont, they got a cup of coffee, they're out of there. Dante Chen got a couple of chances and is now out of here, but that's kind of I feel like there's a theme with a lot of these that they at least got some TV time and they just didn't stick. And Andre Chase was the last one. Like he
Yeah.
I,
There was just
yeah.
yeah, I mean he got a run on TV. He was a bit of an older guy to begin with. I was kind of surprised to learn that he how long he'd actually been wrestling before, coming into NXT and getting this role, the role that he got. Had its moments, but didn't have real staying power.
No.
And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's just nothing more to that. Oh, there is one more that became a bit notable. One Carly Brite let
Oh.
go. Be notable because she is playing a she's herself. Like they have a graphic for her and everything in the general commercial with Rhea Ripley, where Rhea's trying to teach her lessons about wrestling, but of course the general's using it as lessons about car insurance, and it's so, but she's going to be heavily featured on segments and during commercial breaks on Raw and SmackDown going forward, with her name in the graphic. So she, well, her WWE name, which she may or may not be able to take with her, but yeah, that might help her in indie bookings if she chooses to. Because
Go that route.
they're not going to throw away these commercials.
No, the general does not care. I mean, I feel like they had their Ric Flair commercials on long after he got into hot water in the relatively recent past.
Right. Yeah.
Now we get to the main roster portion of the cuts here. Alba Fire on the list. The Secret Hervis, not needed, or can be easily replaced.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, obviously, no, this isn't surprising. She was
No.
only she was backing up a comedy on mid to low card person. I mean, which is what they see Chelsea Green as. And I
No.
think over the last few months or so, certainly ever since the last season of Unreal aired, we've been watching Chelsea Green in real time realize what WWE management thinks of her, really thinks of her. And it's just, she's been, I can tell she's working through it. The idea that they have essentially told her, they've told the world that they don't see her as world champion. And now they're taking her Secret Hervis from her. Yeah, it's just no wonder you're here that she's, looking into acting. Starting to plan her life away. It's just at a certain point, you get yourself. They tell you to get yourself over. You do that, and then it's that they still that glass ceiling's still there.
Hey, well, yeah, and it's really kind of wild. It I mean, I guess if she'd decide to stick with it, she could pull off something. You know, like again, like I feel like I'm always short on women's examples, and bring up men's who have a little more history. And
Right.
I feel like she could stick around like an R-Truth type character for a long time. If your aspiration is really to get to the championship, though, like they definitely do not seem to be inclined to let you be taken seriously.
No.
So yeah, it's management is still kind of weird that way. Continuing the unsurprising list, Zoe Stark out the window. This one never really took off.
No. Yeah, it's just when you've got, women, fit women all over your roster. The one that's probably the least over and progressed the least is, very expendable.
All the potential that was talked about, I'm kind of with you. Like it just seemed unfulfilled.
I never really saw it, so
I feel like more people sold it than I even ever really even particularly had faith in. Next up on the list in a giant block here. The entirety of the Wyatt Six got shown the door.
yeah, that in many ways that should be the biggest deal, but it's really not. The writing's been on the wall for quite a while now that this wasn't working, and people were specifically brought in. Bo Dallas hadn't wrestled in what close to 5 years when he was brought back for this. Rowan had wrestled sparingly.
Right.
Nikki Cross, had her moments, but hadn't had a sustained push in a while. Loomis and
Gacy have never
Gacy
really
never really, I mean,
done much.
they were put in a, they were put in as tag team champions in the big SmackDown, tag team, weekly,
Oh.
round robin of everyone wrestling everybody, leading to a big TLC match, and you could tell they were slowing the other teams down. Really.
I mean, it's a statement when Joe Gacy and Dexter Loomis are your best wrestlers in that group.
Yeah, they
And
and I
they're
guess they
still
were.
slowing people down.
Right, yes. I mean it,
You know, like,
I mean Loomis came a long way from TNA, where he may have been the worst wrestler in the business at one time, but it was just never, once the whole, the humor of his whole serial killer stalker gimmick, just kind of went away, or just kind of, they just got tired of it.
oh,
And
yeah.
then of course you could transition him into this, but this just didn't have legs.
No, they didn't really seem to have any plans for it.
No.
They do not seem to it's one thing that I know Jeremy and I talk about maybe a little bit more. Just it is really funny that Triple H, when he was in charge of NXT, he kind of liked the nonsense, and we enjoyed the nonsense that he put on TV, like any Tony D'Angelo dumb skits or things. Well, maybe that's Shawn Michaels, but
Yeah,
anyway,
I think a lot of nonsense was hit was more in the Shawn era. But yeah, but then there obviously were things, and he was still running NXT, and some of it involved Loomis, some of it involved, Triple H was in charge when they were doing all that stuff with Loomis and Indy Hartwell, or Loomis was stalking whoever that was through a haunted house on Halloween Havoc, and
Oh,
just
Carmelo Hayes.
oh yeah okay yeah yeah yeah
Yeah.
yeah I
Yeah.
mean yeah
So, but I mean, he's never really shown a willingness for whatever reason, and I mean, maybe it's a TKO thing that it's time to knock that stuff off.
yeah yeah I mean yeah
You know, just 'cause
as we'll go
and
on
that's
here
what the
the
Wyatt's, that's what the Wyatt Six is. You know, like you need that type of wackiness to exist in at least some type of
Yeah.
self-contained world. And yeah, there was just no having any of that for
It
the Wyatt
never
Six.
the legacy of Bray Wyatt that we don't talk about it anymore because it's seen as disrespectful. Most of his shit didn't translate and didn't work ultimately. And this is just an extension of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair enough. Like
Yeah,
it's
it's just the Undertaker and Kane stuff just was able to exist on its own plane, all those years, and nothing spooky has ever really been able to get to that where it can't it almost you if you force you're forced to accept it as part of the show.
it's really kind of
Yeah,
it's been the end of an era for a while in
yeah,
that
and
department.
when we're treating the this lantern like they treated the urn back in the day, but no one's buying into it, it's time to pack it in.
It does not help when you have two groups that no one cares about.
No, it
That
didn't.
makes
That didn't help at
trying to
all.
make the lantern feel important even even harder. Continuing the cuts list, two that are no surprises: Santos Escobar, Apollo Crews. They've been around for more than a cup of coffee at this point and have not been able to really make any impression on
No,
WWE management.
Apollo Crews has, I mean, even dating back to NXT, there's no memorable moments there. He had this reputation as this great worker who never had any great matches. It's just, he just never amount. Again, if you're acting like you're all upset about this Apollo Crews release. And you don't live in his house, like you're just being performative online. Then who could possibly care? I mean, the guy got 10 years in WWE. I mean, this is not a sad sob story or anything.
Yeah, if he wants to continue wrestling, I'm sure he's gonna get more than his fair share of indie invites. Like him and Santos both. Like I
Yeah,
feel like
Santos gets
Santos
the.
can go back to Mexico if he feels, like
I
that's the
mean, he'll have
path
to go to
too.
CMLL, but since I imagine
Oh.
AAA is not not.
Well,
But it could be. I mean, I guess it could be. You could treat that separately, or TNA, obviously. I mean, TNA is going to be a refuge for a lot of people because the idea is if you go to TNA for a year or two, WWE is watching. You never went to AEW. They might bring you back.
Yeah, it definitely leaves the door a little more open. Not on the surprising list, but also I felt like pushing off together here. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. I feel like Triple H honestly just wanted to give them a run for exposure, and that's been
Yeah,
done.
they were never a good fit for WWE, and they're, Sabin just looks so old, and Shelley's still trying to hang it on to some type of youthful exuberance and his old haircut and all that. It's just like this was just never. I mean, and they tried. They won the tag belts in under a month the first time, and. They tried. This just wasn't a good fit. I mean, they can go to AEW and be fine. I mean,
They can
whatever
go
time they have left.
Yeah, they can go wherever they
Yeah.
want to, honestly, and they'll be fine. Like, AEW is not going to feature them much better, honestly, than the WWE. But if you want to pick up a paycheck, have at it. You know, it's
Right.
definitely one of those things that I have enjoyed their work over the years, but I do think that it's about time to pack it up for those two. Getting to the tail end of things here, this one's going to go as a package too. Aleister Black is Zelina Vega. Husband and wife duo had just been somewhat recently reunited in the WWE. Both shown the door here. Kind of wild, just because at least there was the rumor that he was the person behind the phone calls
Yeah,
potentially
man, what a
before Pat McAfee got involved. Like,
yeah, that's such a crazy story. That yeah, that he was on the cusp of a life-changing,
art.
arc and push, and it didn't happen for him. He did get a pin, his feud with Damian Priest, obviously went on forever. And then he did get a, I believe shortly before Elimination Chamber, he did get a pinfall win over Randy Orton.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Like, I felt like, I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe he has a spot, you know, like, again, like, the ceiling's pretty low,
I mean, the funny thing
you
about his
know.
spot was it was literally Karrion Kross's spot with Scarlett. That just the devil on everyone's shoulder. That's what him and Zelina were doing. They were doing Cross and Scarlett, which is
Yeah.
hilarious.
Which, and I might say that they were maybe doing a little bit better version.
They might have been, yep. You could make that argument, but
You know,
ultimately
you're also
it's.
splitting hairs at that point too.
But I guess ultimately you're just looking. I mean, and for this, we were talking about Alistair, but for the Zelina part, there was time I really liked her a lot, like especially earlier in her career. I love that she got, especially the run she got in NXT with Andrade. It was
Oh.
probably the peak. It was the peak of her career, but unfortunately, it happened in NXT, not in the main roster. As a wrestler herself, it seemed like maybe she was never that great or anything, but she'd also was seemingly also regressing in the ring. This packaging her with her real life husband was kind of seemed like a last ditch effort to begin with for her. And then with him, it's just he's probably he's a little bit older guy. He's yeah, they just had to go in another direction with the thing that could have changed his fortunes for good. But they were seen as expendable for their for the value of what they were being paid, and let go. Both of them, an entire household, just having their entire income stripped away. That part does suck.
Yeah, I mean, in all of these, I'm not surprised, you know. These two are on the list, but yeah, that aspect always sucks out of this happening. Last but not least, and maybe there's been the most hubbub around, in my opinion, Kairi Sane is on the cut list here. But even with that being said, it does seem like, hey, why didn't you at least keep her around the next couple of weeks to finish this story arc with Io and Asuka? Then let her go. I
But
like.
then you have her linked, presumably you have her back linked with Io, leaving Asuka. Yeah, I this
Oh, so
is
you're
definitely the
saying
most
there's no
surprised.
good way to pull off the Band-Aid in this situation?
There
Is
may
that
not have been a good way
more
to
your
pull off a
stance?
Band-Aid. Hey, the way this storyline was moving at a snail's pace for so long,
Oh, yeah.
especially.
Especially since
Yeah,
we
it's
thought that there's a possibility that they were going to be the replacement tag team at
right.
WrestleMania, which
Yeah. I mean, I'm so
did not
she's well
pan
liked. She
out.
has something of a fan base herself. I mean, although it's some of that, revolt. We're gonna revolt against WWE and TKO, to chant her name during the Asuka EO segment from Monday. There's obviously that there's some of that, and yeah, this is probably the most surprising one. But also, what was she gonna do away from Asuka, really?
I feel like I've talked about how much I like her on this podcast more times than, not when she's come up. Her facials kill me. I even feel like in the backstage segments when she's had the talk, she's at least done her part at a minimum, if not been outright enjoyable. And but your point is basically it. Like, at best, she's a tag team partner for Io or Asuka for the tag team championships. Like, I
And one
don't
of those
see
we've done
her.
before.
And I don't feel like I see her ever being even one of those underdog challengers for the main championship.
No.
They did that in NXT. I don't think you can pull that off on the main roster.
No.
Or at least she definitely needed a lot of investment if you were going to try that angle. Like, she needed to start winning on her own,
Yeah.
which is a huge ask to start with. Because, I mean, I don't feel like they ever really tried to separate her on the main roster. She was always just kind of the support characters, or yeah, support character for Io and Asuka, pretty much her whole run on the main
Yeah.
roster.
Yeah. She never really had much of her own, and she just really wasn't going to.
Yeah, so yeah, I can see the no good way to pull off Band-Aid angle there. With that one, like there isn't really payoff that works. So
And I guess
just go ahead and get it
the
done
only
with.
question left is Akira Tozawa the new JTG? The new person who just seems to survive these cuts every year when you think, this has got to be it, right?
I would not have been surprised if both him and his recent brethren in the
Yeah, Otis, yeah.
Otis had been on this list.
He wouldn't. No, that would not have been
I
surprising at
do
all.
feel like Akira Tozawa's maybe had a little more time on the roster than Otis, so
I believe so. Yes.
he definitely gets the tip of the cap for the JTG award to the, in that regard. And yeah, we haven't really I feel like have they come in multiple weeks in the past, or has this
No,
mostly
this
been
is.
a weekend thing? Like, I'm trying to think if
It's mostly been
they've had a
it's mostly been
second
a
wave.
it's mostly on this Friday, the Friday after WrestleMania, especially for the main roster. I mean, more NXT names that we don't know basically could trickle out over time. But overall,
Oh.
yeah, this is prob it's probably done for now.
Yeah. So, I guess it's kind of interesting, because, we talk about all these cuts, and, there's one aspect I've been thinking about, just because a lot of NXT superstars have gotten their debuts on the main roster here. And it's kind of interesting how little time from all of these cuts that we're talking about, like how little time these people would have to fill their boots. Like these everyone involved definitely is going to need more TV involvement than
Well, yes. Well, yes. And
anyone let go here.
Yeah, so well, again, that's a lot of what this is about, of course. It's not just mean TKO, mean WWE. It's, there are only so many spots available. You have to, remove some people that move people to add people. Yeah, everyone can't be featured all at once, especially when belief is that by June, I think it's been said that SmackDown's going back to 2 hours again. So again, there's a,
Oh,
that's so that's
yeah.
even less people you need to fill time, especially when you don't even have house shows.
Yeah, I forgot about SmackDown going back to 2 hours again. Because that definitely does lessen the content needs,
Right.
and the talent needs. But there were plenty of debuts, and maybe the biggest, dare I say, from NXT. It is something that I feel like all of us here at Stunt Granny have been advocating. Fatal Influence comes up as an entire group and has a pretty nice showing.
Yeah,
Honestly, their first
an
night on
incredibly nice
TV.
showing. Yeah, no, I'm 100%, in favor of bringing Fatal Influence up as a group. I mean, JC Jane's obviously ready. I think Fallon Henley's ready. Lainey Reed is the one you should obviously be skeptical about. But at some point, you just gotta let people, sink or swim. She'll be
Oh.
more in a, she'll be more in a tag team with Fallon Henley, most likely. She'll be the one to take the pin in six woman tags, most likely. Because you need someone to play that
She,
role.
yeah, she definitely has a defined role that I feel like for the time being, if you still feel like she needs more training and reps, you can still get her in the position to do that
Right, yes.
with this role, even on the main roster.
Yeah. Go train with Natty in the dungeon. Yeah, and you'll be fine. Apparently, that's apparently all you need anymore. But no, they had a great. They proved that you don't need to have weeks and weeks of vignettes to introduce a new character. If they just come on, make a big impact, are immediately slotted with big stars. Who take them seriously? Who sell? Who bump for them? Who sell for them? And that's what we got. I mean, right from the start, they jumped into a tag match between, Brie Bella and Paige against Charlotte and Alexa. Caused a no contest. Went in there essentially, three on four and kicked ass. From the start. That double team that Fallon and Lainey did to Alexa Bliss. Had they done that before?
Not that I can really recall. Like, they have not really wrestled as a team terribly much.
No, they have not.
So, even if they have done that before, their time wrestling has been few and far enough between that
Right.
I don't
Well,
remember.
whatever it was, it I have not quite seen that move like that, done like that before, and it was a very good move. I really like what they did, what they did there. Obviously, so they so they're already laying out, crowd favorites, big stars, and one Hall of Famer in one case. So already they're already off to the races, better than anyone else that's been brought up, really. And then later that
Oh.
night, we don't have to go in any kind of chronological order here. Rhea Ripley makes an open challenge, answered by JC Jane and well, JC Jane with the rest of Fatal Influence. Booed out of just the biggest heat anyone had all night was JC Jane on the microphone with Lainey and Fallon at her side. I. This could, and then, they go for it. They go ahead. They have the match. JC does not lose by pinfall. So they jump in to cause of the DQ. They lay out Rhea Ripley. Not everyone gets to lay out Rhea Ripley, especially on their first night.
Well, and I think they did a pretty nice balancing act of Rhea looked fairly strong. When she did get slowed down, it was because of outside interference. And they gave late JC Jane, more than enough, the right amount of offense to look strong.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Again,
So
it's like
like
an onion.
they yeah they honestly could not have done a better job with
No.
how things went. And yeah, it's always great to not I don't know how many times we've talked about it. It's great not to have a loss. You're
Sorry,
the
Sol Ruka.
loser.
So yeah, this is going really well. And they're already going to set up next week Charlotte Flair versus JC Jane. We're going to get the six woman tag at some point, maybe on one of the three big shows they have coming up in the calendar month of May.
Yes, I would be pretty shocked if there isn't a six woman given our backstage meeting between Alexa, Charlotte, and Rhea later in the evening even further. And I do still get a pretty good kick out of Alexa Bliss. She's like, ah, don't mind Charlotte. She just kind of like this.
She is good. Yes, their dynamic is good. Adding Rhea, it's gonna be good stuff. Yes.
Even Rhea's like, you know what? You got me on that one. because I and it did make sense that her and Alexa would have a different relationship than her and Charlotte. So, it kind of just even works from like a how the personalities interact, kind of layer there. Fatal Influence really shown the red carpet on SmackDown this week. I guess to rewind a little bit. There was a little bit. I feel like there is a backstage. A backstage segment with Julia. Oh, and why am I already
And
forgetting her
Kiana
name?
James,
Tiana James.
we're starting them on a path of arguing with each other.
So not that we didn't know what was coming in this match with Tiffany Stratton
Oh
anyway,
yes,
but boy,
Tiffany needed your consolation prize for not being on WrestleMania.
well, in a lot of ways too, even though the women's and I feel like you and I have talked about it a lot, that the main women's championship didn't always have the best selection of challengers because Becky Lynch siphoned off too many challengers. It's possible that Tiffany Stratton can kind of play a similar role to Becky Lynch
Yeah,
if
and
they decide to concentrate on it that much.
yeah, T Tiffany needs something right now, and this certainly can be it. There's stuff with you keep doing with her, Julia and Kiana. Obviously, Chelsea Green's always wants her U.S. always wants her belt back. There's
Yeah,
things to
hey,
do, and Tiffany
you have
can
challengers
play.
out there.
Yeah, and Tiffany can play well off these people. If she's in her kind of little down, she's not in the world title picture, this is fine for her.
Yep. So I do think that this one, I feel like they're almost there with Julia, but there's something weird. I don't know if her and Kiana need to split just to help each other out in the long run.
Yeah, I don't. The concern to me is that it helps Kiana more than Julia.
I do think that that might end up being the case. Julia's just, I feel like there's like it keeps on being one of those things where I see enough where I'm like, I understand why she was so hyped coming from Japan. But it doesn't ever seem like she's getting the TV time, at least on the main roster, to reflect that. And to a lesser degree on NXT, even since her and Vicaire came in at the same time. And I mean, you can obviously see the difference in pushes for both
And
of them.
pushes
So.
and how one translates the her look, her the you know the charisma. Yeah, people didn't think it was going to be this way, but yeah. Stephanie Vaquer, leapfrog Julia, in every way, and it's
Yeah,
basically ran laps around her.
and it's kind of wild because like it's one of those things where sometimes what your preferences are get put in check when you see what the wider audience thinks. And I mean, I love the way that Julia comes down to the ring. It's one of the few musics that I like, I guess, and just has not really caught on that well. Yeah, it is wild what can happen when Booker T really gets behind you. I'll definitely put it that way.
Booker T, for all the criticism Booker T's commentary gets, he when he puts a stamp of approval on somebody, it means something.
So I guess the next thing up to really talk about is Cody Rhodes coming out for his promo here.
What's to talk about is how little there is to talk about with this. He was very rambling here. This was not your bit. This was not your Russell. This is not a, big revenge promo. Why the hell is he referencing Sami Zayn in his revenge promo against Randy Orton?
Yeah, it seemed like he had points, but they weren't relevant points to
Yeah,
starting
this is a.
another feud.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, he, it, you know, if Randy Orton got the night off, there. I mean, I guess they. I understand why you don't have Cody take the night off completely, on the
No.
back on after WrestleMania, but he had nothing to say. He still looks terrible, and he wasn't even didn't even sound that mad about it. That's the big thing I'm taking from it. It's like he was not that concerned with revenge against Randy Orton. And it should be, which again brings you to the questions of, okay, now where's Randy Orton? Are the rumors about his back true? What's going on with him now?
Yeah, this one could be just blown up by circumstances out of Mr. Rhodes' control.
Right. It definitely could. I mean, obviously the SmackDown main event scene is getting the extra time here with the main event of Backlash being a Roman Reigns title defense from Raw, so everyone involved of whatever is gonna shake out for Cody's next challenger, it's getting an extra it's getting an it's getting some extra time.
Well, there is definitely a group of people that who if cuts are finalized they are getting some additional time. I'm not going to be quite sure how though. The MFTs is good as Fatal Influences night was. I would put the MFTs night in the exact 180
They're
degree opposite
they are
direction.
so bad. They are so cold. Like the and it's just bad right now. And they're dragging down everyone they come in contact with. R-Truth and Damian Priest as tag team champions are is it, you know they are what they are you know and they beat Tama and
Tongaloa, or was it
was it
JC
Mateo and
Mateo?
Tongaloo? I think it was JC Mateo. I think
Yeah, it
they
might have been Mateo.
they won their match. Obviously nothing special, wasn't going to be with any of these guys in there. And then, I mean, we can. I think we can go to the main event, and because
Yeah, because I
because
was
we're
part of
good,
the MFT's the bad night.
right, yeah, right. I mean,
Not
and you
a
start
they
okay,
end up they lose a tag team match to start the evening. Then Solo Sikoa has a match against Jacob Fatu.
Brought about from a challenge earlier in the night when
Yep.
Jacob and the Usos were going back and forth, and then Solo and his crew interrupted, and which we had to. I understand why they felt the need to close the thread of Jacob Fatu having never actually beaten Solo Sikoa last year. But we've talked about ad nauseum how much of a mistake all that was. But this was not Solo. It's amazing that they basically built the company around him 2 years ago from where he is now.
Yeah, it is it's really wild. Like
I mean, this was not
I guess I
this was
thought he
again not
did what
like
he was supposed to do. Like, I don't know if I love the guy, super want to praise him or anything, but I mean, they just kept putting him in bad spot after bad spot
Right.
after bad spot.
He kept losing. So they felt the need to have him, give him a little something by having him beat Jacob Fatu for the US title last year. And all they did was bring down Jacob Fatu. And his group has only gotten colder since. Obviously the Wyatt Six stuff was awful. But
No.
basically put the final nail in the threat of him and any group he's leading being taken seriously at all. And then we get
Oh
this,
yeah.
again, him and
This night killed them being taken seriously
Oh,
at
this
all.
oh this definitely oh this th this
Especially
really
the
really
main
killed them,
event.
yeah. Oh
You
yeah.
know, it's bad enough the MFTs lose the tag team match. So, and like you said, like on commentary, they even feature the fact that Solo is unbeaten against Jacob Fatu, 0-3, if I'm not mistaken. It's just like, oh my gosh. Like you said, like what I don't know what they were thinking at the time, honestly, because even then Solo didn't need three wins over Jacob Fatu. But anywho, yeah, they close the loop, and A, Solo loses the match. B, the Usos are there, supposedly to help Jacob against the MFTs. But then Jacob Fatu beats up the other three MFTs by himself.
In some ways, this was needed. Jacob needs all the gas he can get. All gas, no brakes, heading into Backlash. Yes, I mean, because he does. Because again, he has not had the best 6 to 9 months of that someone could ask. I mean, he's only gotten this.
It's wild that his win against Drew McIntyre was underwhelming at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I guess on the underwhelming night. I mean, it was one of maybe one of the better matches of the night, but it really that just says what, that the night just didn't get in that third or fourth gear really. So yeah, and again, typical WWE hardcore match. Technically, that match should not have earned Jacob Fatu a title match because it's a non-sanctioned, so it didn't count really.
Fair point, sir.
Which I guess is why we get to Roman Reigns, questioning whether Fatu should get this match in the first place. But yeah, we but yeah, as you said, we get Jacob destroying the MFTs. There's nothing left of the MFTs. And from
Yeah,
here, I wish we could. Go ahead.
whatever story they may have had in mind for Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa beefing with each other, it was made irrelevant
Yeah, it's irrelevant. No one could
with this
care about this.
beatdown. Irrelevant. Oh my
Tama
gosh.
Tonga has spent like a year ogling the US title, all while this U this all while the title's changed hands like 18 times, and he's never stepped up for an open challenge.
Yeah, despite the fact that they have been on the Open Challenge brand.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's our transition out of this.
Yeah.
We did get Trick Williams' U.S. titles win celebration with Little Yachty still there, promising to stick around every single week. Again, no idea what this man what else this man has going on in his life that he could do this.
Yeah, I guess he's between records. I don't know. I'm not his manager. I
Yeah.
evidently he has free time.
Yes, he must.
He's still oof, not really adding enough value to
No.
me to keep him around.
And his presence still adds ambiguity to whether Trick has turned face or not. Of course, the way this whole thing went down adds ambiguity to everything because the guy's opponent, guy's nemesis, sneaks into a costume to attack him is really a classic baby face, sneaks into especially a goofy costume to attack the man who defeat who beat him. A classic baby face, scenario trope. But of
Yeah.
course, Sami Zayn can't get more than five people in the audience to cheer him to save his life at this point.
Yes, Sammy cannot buy a break because I not only did does Little Yachty bring kind of bring the heelishness to Trick Williams. I mean, I think Trick Williams brings the heelishness to Trick
Yeah, he was
Williams.
not
Like
he was not
that
changing.
type
He
of
doesn't need to change a lot, but he needed to change some because WrestleMania did feel like a double turn, and we're still kind of in this in this weird gray area with both of them, which of course then when you exist in a weird gray area for too long, people just don't care and stop caring.
Yeah, and it's really weird because I know that I saw somewhere this week where Trick's like, I don't care what people think I am, and I'm like, ah, oh, dude, like,
Not this shit again.
yeah, like people really misunderstand gray area and how easy it is to achieve. You know, because they are not achieving gray area with what they're doing right now. You know, they're just yeah, they're producing just problems for the audience that are not
Yeah,
necessary.
right. It reeks of a feud that needs to continue because we've got all these shows coming up and we had no time to prep anything new for them.
Yeah, and that is definitely what we're getting. That is definitely what we're getting with that one.
One new thing on SmackDown, and arguably maybe other than Fatal Influence. The highlight of SmackDown, Danhausen. Danhausen visits the Miz's house. I don't have all the actual funny WWE skits in history lined up in my head right now, but this has to be near the top. This two-parter.
Yeah, I mean, the Miz is a sucker for these things. Danhausen, just yeah, I feel like I saw someone trying to say that AEW used Danhausen this way, and I much like Wade Barrett, I've got some bad news for you. This
Maybe on an
level,
episode of Collision I never saw.
yeah, like they did not use him this well. Like even when he did curse things, like the WWE is just really capitalizing on him
Right.
just
This is where WWE
being
having this
a.
team of writers, many of whom have comedy background, is actually helping enhance Danhausen
Yeah.
and make it palatable for a mainstream audience. I mean, for God's sakes, he's walking onto First Take and cursing Stephen A. Smith, for God's sake. Those were I can't believe the words left my mouth. It's been almost 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, just
Yeah.
The thing with Danhausen is it's not even like the big moments. It's like the small ones while you're still laughing. You might not catch like when he's like, ah, chocolate, and then he's you realize before all you realize he just ate potpourri, didn't he? Or when he's on the bike and he just stops and looks at the Miz's Cybertruck and goes, ah, space trap, very rich. Like, just only Danhausen can pull that shit off.
Yeah, he is evidently the only one. Well, and it's kind of interesting. I was going to say that he lives in his own universe, but he doesn't really. Like, I mean, it's wild that he is existing with the regular rank and file wrestlers, because I mean, he did actually after all of these silly ass skits, he did in fact wrestle the Miz on this evening.
Yes, and of course he has now added to it to his list of accolades Slammy Award winner. Because he just stole and Slammy from Miz's house. He's carrying it around with him. And
And for whatever reason, I don't know why Michael Cole is so in on this skit, because he's like, oh, don't you see the tape on that Slammy? It says Danhausen on it, and Corey Gray.
No, wait, no,
Or no, is
it's
it
where
Tessitore?
it's Tessitore and Barrett, and Barrett's
Oh
being, of
yeah, I'm
course,
sorry.
incredulous about the whole thing. Yeah, Barrett's doing a good job.
I'm
He's
sorry.
he
Yeah,
in this case,
I
he's
got
you know
the.
he's playing Bobby Heenan, and he's playing Jesse Ventura. You know, he's doing his role. He's playing his role well, and yeah, of course, of course, you know, another curse and mishap with Pyro leading to Danhausen getting his second win. He's undefeated.
I mean, they're even giving the refs plausible deniability in these situations. So, it's. Yeah, I don't know how long they can keep this up, but God bless. For as long as they can keep it up, I will be here to enjoy it. I that's all I will say.
Yes, I will definitely be enjoying the hell out of this. This most improbable WWE run for Danhausen. Yeah, it is basically my favorite stuff in all of wrestling right now.
I mean, he's definitely a guy that's just like, when if they decide to cut him and he just goes back to the indies, like, that guy's just gonna rake in money. I mean, I feel like he was doing okay already, but getting this stamp of approval is something else here. Anything else to talk about SmackDown before we head to Raw
No,
here?
that is definitely it.
Fair, because that's I thought we were pretty good here. Seth Rollins is the one to kick off Raw this week, and he is headed for Braun Breaker straight on here. And oh boy, I don't think this went the way that Seth Rollins imagined it.
No, I don't think no. Braun Breaker ate him for lunch here. He said all the right things. You know, Seth is having, of course, because it was Seth is having to reverse engineer like his entire last year of his career, because now he has found himself in the role of babyface that he was not supposed to be in, and he has to explain away now everything that happened during that time of the Vision, where yes. He did hide behind Braun and Bronson, and you know we comment on it. You know, it's like there were moments where it was just the three of them, and it's just like they have like 10 enemies going after them all at once. You know, because that's how many people Seth was pissing off left and right.
And it's kind of funny that they're even underlining how much of a pariah Seth is, because it later in the evening, to pull the talking point in, he runs into the Street Profits, and they're just like, "Dude, we just want the tag team championships. To buzz off."
Yeah, no, and you have to do the storyline like this. You know, it has to be done. You know, there's people. Seth shouldn't have any friends on the babyface side. He's gonna have to I guess re-earn all that. When I guess none of this was ever supposed to happen, go down like this. You could.
Part of it is not his fault, but
Right.
also this is the story that's going to be told now, so
Yeah.
they're going to have to work it into
Yeah, and now
this
he's
feud.
and now he's got, a match with Braun Breaker at Backlash. And since this is likely part one of a longer feud that will stretch us, at least, probably all the way through the summer, I imagine Braun Breaker will win. And we'll have moments where Seth is being outnumbered with, Logan Paul and Austin Theory, and if whenever Reed comes back, so that eventually Seth's gonna need some friends.
I do think that's a good way to tell the story too. Let Seth reacquire friends to finally battle off
No,
the other
and it
trio.
might be interesting if he ends up having to, at some point team with, a CM Punk, or team with Roman Reigns, or team with both of them at the same time. And then, this is a way to make this all go full circle.
There's a lot of directions I feel like they can take and make this feel pretty satisfactory, but for the time being, it definitely feels
Yeah, I don't feel like
awkward.
I don't. Yeah, I don't feel like I don't. I don't feel like Seth can win this first match against Breaker, even though Seth just took a loss at WrestleMania.
I would have to think to start solidifying Braun is that next star. He does need to get the first win, but
Because
like you said, like I feel like there's going to be some chicanery involved, some help from the Vision Brethren, that really helps put him over the top, even if he looks pretty strong in the process. So, that was the big opening segment of the night. Well, and I guess the next segment here worth talking about, Stephanie Vaquer just walking backstage and then gets jumped by Judgment Day, or at least the female members of Judgment Day. Starting with Raquel Rodriguez, and continue with Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez.
Yes, and Roxanne wheels one of those carts into Stephanie's shoulder, which is apparently to cover up a real life injury that will put Stephanie out for at least a little bit of time. No, no word on when, no
Michael
word on how
Cole
long.
did not make it sound like it was going to be too long, but it does sound like there is going to be some time. Might also explain why I was a little bit surprised at the WrestleMania result. But hey, maybe it happened in the WrestleMania match, and
That's possible.
That's what's getting covered for. But so Stephanie Vaquer, at least written off TV for the time being now. Next up, Penta taking on Rusev in a non-title match. Rusev getting booted out of this storyline in a hurry here. Or maybe not.
Maybe not. Because we're gonna get the obvious tag match probably next week. But because Ethan Page jumps in, Javon Evans jumps in. So it's some by the numbers stuff. Not super impressed with with how they've worked Ethan Page into things, and it did dawn on me, especially last night. Ethan Page is a guy who needs a lot of TV time. He needs to grow on you. He is not going to impress you, super impress you from day one. he's you know like a Sol Ruka, or I don't even know if you could do what you did with Fatal Influence, what to do with him, to have him just immediately try to make this big impact on night one. He needs a more gradual approach, but also I don't know if he'll get the amount of time put into him that he did in NXT.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting thing to keep track of because I think that you're right in that regard that and we've talked about it before, the NXT audience still much smaller than Raw and or SmackDown.
Right.
So you're really needing to re-get your character over. And it definitely took some time down there. I think that he can do it. We will see if it happens though. So yeah, but he did get a little bit short-sticked in the appearance department on this evening, I would say, in general here, Well, El Grande Americano and the original El Grande Americano, we are still going to find them on our TVs, Chris.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of maybe some people in AAA, because this issue between them is just so hot down there, and then you try to transport it to an American audience on an episode of Raw, and it's just doesn't translate, doesn't even begin to describe it, and it's just
I feel like it got a better reception this
it
week
did
than
get
it
better,
has
it,
in past weeks.
Laredo.
It's
Laredo, yeah. A
and
little
that
more
could
blue,
explain
yeah. A little more
it.
Lucha friendly audience, yeah. So that maybe people, more people who watch, who do watch AAA, which actually is a very, which usually is a pretty good weekly show, and their issue in down there is so hot, and it's there's the argument that
Oh.
they just should not be on WWE TV in the meantime, because it's just you only risk hurting them there.
Yeah, and I generally
You're not
agree
going to have
with
them beat
you.
anybody. If you're not going to have either of them beat anybody, which you're not, but they're not. They're just not at this point.
No, I never for a moment on this episode of Raw thought that Ludwig Kaiser was beating Rey Mysterio.
And it's not like Rey Mysterio is this world beater who never loses either.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
So
Rey
they
has
sing a
definitely
lot, yeah.
taken his fair share of L's on WWE TV in the recent past. I mean, I know that he's been out with injury, but yeah, that man has taken her or his fair share of Next up, I would suppose here on the Raw list, Becky Lynch comes out for a promo here, and she issues an open challenge
Oh,
because
yes, one of
she's
these great open challenges, yes.
yeah,
Can never get enough of them.
it's
It's a
to
tool
say
of
it's getting
lazy
a
creative.
Yeah, to say that it's getting a little overused here recently
Oh, and I'll have some things to say about it later too. But yes,
would be an understatement. Oh
but
yeah,
suffice
because I
to
forgot this was only the first of two open challenges on
Right, or
the
discussion of open challenges, yeah.
night.
But this open challenge is answered by Io Sky. Becky immediately tries to backpedal her way out of it, and accuse Io of being Rhea's sidekick and all that. Adam Pearce
No,
doesn't let her get away with it. They have the match. A match you really probably shouldn't throw away on an episode of Raw, since it might be the first time they've ever had a one-on-one match, especially since Io's been pushed heavily.
yeah, it was pretty wild that this match just kind of casually happened on a random Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I
Like,
mean, they were
I'm surprised that it at least didn't get a week's notice. You know what I mean?
right, but we did have
So,
to get,
but we got it.
we got it, and we needed to. Get Asuka interference to help Becky win so that we could get Asuka versus Io on Backlash for their consolation prize.
Yeah, so even though Kyrie isn't around, they still at least get to close the loop on their story. I guess unsaid in the cuts, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Asuka.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
I feel
she's
like
had a.
they still have plans for Io to be in the top mix. Like maybe she'll need to do the Intercontinental slash US title route from time to
Yeah, she
time.
could. Yeah, she might. Yeah, and but
But
her and Liv have never really had a big thing of their. I think they were supposed to before Liv got hurt, actually.
Oh.
And so, you could certainly have her be a challenger for Liv Morgan after Stephanie McCair feud, runs its course, or whatever you want to do with that.
Yeah. So I feel like there are definitely plans for Io still in the future, but I just don't feel the same way about Asuka for whatever reason. Like they still do a good job of presenting her. She still gets a sufficient amount of TV time, I would say,
Yeah.
to still be considered up there. But it feels like their enthusiasm for her being in the main event is has waned, and I'm like, I don't know. Like she doesn't feel like she can move up and down to the US IC kind of level like EO can right now.
Asuka's future is somewhat questionable. Considering how long she's been around now, or she's I think older than most of the women, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, again, it'll be interesting where she goes for this. Again, she's had a great career. She's done a lot. I mean, I don't think she's done by any stretch of the imagination. But in terms of getting, yeah, you said getting those big spots, that's left to be seen, where they fit her in from here on out.
There is definitely a
Yeah,
difference, especially from this side of the microphone of to me, yeah, the where she fits into where I still enjoy her work, which is immensely. There is that. And what might be one of the weirder segments of WWE TV this week, Joe Hendry finds himself a member of the Raw brand now. And he got Michael Cole openly rooting for Logan Paul's dismissal
yeah, this was a, you know,
from
this was kind of a means to an end. This was, to joining, introducing Joe Hendry to the Raw audience and transitioning to something that, pushes the tag team title issue. It's fine. Having Michael Cole be such a cheerleader for Joe Hendry, while Michael Cole's, of course, credibility has grown by leaps and bounds over the years. I don't know about him being that much of a cheerleader for Hendry's music stuff. It reads a little forced.
It feels like it's one of those things that Corey Graves should be the one leading the charge on this one.
Well,
You know,
he's
just
a
because he
well
likes
what
some
what, what
he work likes quirky stuff sometimes. And
But he needs
Michael
to be the
Cole.
heel. But he needs to be the heel anti Joe Hendry, who's anti Joe Hendry though too.
Which I guess Michael Cole just is not going to do these days. So,
No, we don't need to go back there again. We don't need to bring back the coal mine.
we're I guess we're left in the situation that we're left in here.
Yeah, but it does bring Logan, as I said, brings Logan Paul and Austin Theory out. They jump on Joe Hendry. Street Profits, of course, make the save. And we get, a little segment with, the Street Profits and Joe Hendry, waving their arms to Joe Hendry's song.
Yep, and everyone seems on the in the aforementioned Street Profits meet Seth Rollins segment, they also kind of dapped it up with Joe Hendry backstage to at least show that they are not averse to being okay with other people backstage, which was a
No.
nice little touch there.
This was a it ultimately was a nice welcome for Joe Hendry. It established, you know, what he does, who he is, what he does, that, you know, you're supposed to like him. The other people, you know, the other baby faces like him. He has friends, unlike Seth Rollins.
Of all the debuts, Joe Hendry had a pretty solid one that put him in a good position moving forward here, wherever they decide to put him. I'll tell you what, Grayson Waller was not lying to Adam Pearce that he's in the best shape of his life. Unfortunately, this gentleman also had a match with Obafemi this week,
Yes.
so that was not going to do him any good.
And of course, you know, Obafemi, of course, defeats him in short order. Which, this is the way they set this up. Someone runs their mouth. They get put in the match with Joe with Obafemi. You know, it's the modern one on one with the Undertaker. You know, for that Teddy Long would do. You know, again, because we're for now. If we had the big moment, now we need to kind of pull back and just kind of bring Oba more slowly along. I think this is the way to do it, not the because it's a mix of that with the mix of the way this isn't, you know, Andre the Giant was used in the territory era, where he would come in, he would be if a babyface was being beaten down, he would come in by two or three guys, he would come in and be their tag team partner, or, you know, if someone was running their mouth and they needed to be put in their place. And you know, then they face Andre, or they say they face the Undertaker. You know, it's just, you know, or, you know, and then inevitably, of course, you also, you know, have your really big guys who kind of come along and challenge him. That's, I think, more what you need to do here. Like, he ends up being someone, he ends up defending. Maybe he ends up being the person who helps Seth Rollins down the line. You know, he can still do that, you know, to give him things to do, you know, while we're essentially just waiting to give him a world title match that he may very well win.
There are definitely ways for him to hang out and build up wins like this one without
But
having an open challenge.
right, the Oba Open Challenge just sounds silly. After what he did to Brock, who really would have, who really, again, that's why the idea of people being forced into matches with Obafemi works, because who would choose to face him?
Yeah, 'cause oh, you know what? Just thought about the other NXT guy's name, Jasper Troy. Yeah, no one would think to face him. Since there isn't too much more to cover with Oba, we can cover a little more shenanigans involving the Judgment Day later in the evening here. Liv Morgan has a private chat with Roxanne Perez later in the evening. Looking like there's going to be a rift between the two still in the works here. I would
Yeah,
say, aided,
that
one might say, by the Laredo audience that was very into Roxanne, who is from, in fact, Laredo.
yes. She had a pretty big homecoming, seemingly all day, you know, getting an award from the mayor and all the things you do typically with a baby face when they come home. But no, with Roxanne the heel, she got a great reaction. Again, they are still there, you know. It's all this was so long ago, it's hard to even remember, you know, in some ways how Roxanne was introduced to the Judgment Day. And it's been so long since even the last, you know, that we really played up that Roxanne and Finn had any real loyalty to each other, or that, or even the stuff with where Roxanne was flirting with Dom, and so we're trying to bring every that's the issue with this whole thing about how long everything took to finally break down between Finn and the Judgment Day. It's like it was so long ago that all this happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've summed it up perfectly. It's just, it feels so awkward because even within that segment, Liv's like, hey, we're going to talk about this, but Stephanie Vaquer, ran interference nearly a month ago at this point,
Oh yeah.
like at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh my gosh. Like, even that part has kind of lingered. To have that kind of question out in the air for that amount of time. And yeah, like you said, just none of this stuff really lines up terribly well at the current moment, just because
No, and after Finn just ran through Dom at WrestleMania. It just feels this especially feels like there's no need to keep this going.
Yeah, if you want Roxanne out of there, I feel like she can be out of there and not have any
And
problems.
then, but then we still have some of the issues with Liv and Raquel from Liv eliminating Raquel at the Royal Rumble, and then Liv, accidentally, hitting Raquel at WrestleMania, but then Raquel still, taking the bullet for Liv, from Stephanie's suicide dive. We're moving things
Yeah.
through slowly. We're forgetting things. We're forgetting that there's still supposed to be some tension. Hell, forget Roxanne. We're still supposed to have issues with Liv and Raquel, where it's Raquel has Raquel stays loyal to Liv, is always her friend, and then Liv always kind of either accidentally on
Takes
purpose here,
advantage of,
or even
yes.
straight on purpose takes advantage, or just screws over Raquel, but Raquel just takes it and just is like, okay, that's fine. It's like,
Yeah, it's Liv.
it's everyone for themselves and
I'll
all
deal
that,
with it.
right? So yeah, I mean, so how long is that? How long is all of this gonna take to come to fruition? It's just like, okay.
It's wild that that is still out there, and even wilder that for whatever reason, especially this week, Finn Balor decides to evidently just appear out of nowhere like Joe Hendry and or
Yeah.
Danhausen just mere moments after Liv Morgan leaves the clubhouse to try and
Right.
persuade Roxanne. Like,
Right.
okie dokie. I don't need a rival group to Judgment Day, quite frankly.
Not really, no. And then I think
So
we're to the main event segment, basically.
yeah, Sol Ruka gets a hype segment because she has eight staples in the back of her head. So yeah, that leads us to the main event. And the conclusion, like you said, Jacob Fatu needed a little heat. He got a little bit of heat by taking out the MFTs. Definitely made him look even more dangerous after this segment.
Yeah, this segment was preceded by the video opening of the show with Roman and the Usos talking about what they're gonna do, what Roman should
Oh,
do, and
yes.
then a later segment where
Yeah,
LA
they
Knight
had kind of had
questioned,
a round table there of the Samoans.
just like 5 years ago, basically. And then we have the segment the later backstage segment with LA Knight, where LA Knight questions the Usos about going back to Roman Reigns, and are they really equals, or are they just gonna be his lackeys again, all that, just adding to the feeling that this family stuff is just so feels so like much like a retread, where it seems like we can't let it go. It's just so overdone at this point.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild just because The Usos are already being presented as lackeys to Roman Reigns, which
Yes, they
it's not
absolutely are.
helping. It, you
No.
know, like if we're supposed to be divided or think differently than LA Knight, like they are failing us greatly.
Yeah, and I think that there's something intentional about all of it, and you know, because maybe we're gonna lead to the rest of the family, you know, really turning against Roman Reigns and including the Usos, but hey, it just feels like it still feels like this company doesn't have another act in it, you know, past the Bloodline, and.
Yeah, because even the Usos turning on Roman Reigns a second time is.
This time where they would be the heels, yeah, it still makes it a little that makes it different. But again, it's just, the problem is, yeah, there is something about you know a baby face who doesn't you know smile and slap hands and be buddy buddy with the other baby faces. You know, that's fine, but the level of asshole that Roman Reigns has been lately, particularly in this segment, is a problem. Even The Rock wasn't this big of an asshole when we called Kevin Kelly Hermie.
Yeah, I mean, it was wild. I had not only I watched the last hour of both Raw and SmackDown today, but prior to this recording. And I watched Raw first and SmackDown second. And Wade Barrett is the one that's like, oh yeah, Solo Sikoa legitimately brought Jacob Fatu into the WWE when, you know, Roman chose not to. And then in the segment that we're talking about, Roman Reigns is like, huh? Like, you know, like he's acting like he invited Jacob Fatu to the WWE at some point when he clearly, like, I mean, it is acknowledged WWE storyline that's what's happened.
No,
And
and at the time,
he's
hey, Paul Heyman was still aligned with them, so it's always played out that you know Heyman, you know, got some you know political machinations that got this you know ex-felon into the company, even though he'd been you know I guess blackballed for years or what or however they really explained it, but yeah, it's
yeah.
still Solo. Yeah, it is absolutely Solo who did it. Now, granted, Solo is so down low on the lower at this point. It's just like, do we really need to be referencing him in a main event storyline?
Well, and I mean that almost felt like picking on someone, honestly, unnecessarily.
Oh yeah! Oh,
Where
the
he's
solo
just
couldn't
like,
the solo couldn't
oh,
get a coffee delivered. Yeah, that's that.
and it's just
Again,
like,
he's such a.
oh man, like, but again, yeah, it also illustrates him being a complete dickhead in this whole situation.
No, yeah, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold, you know, were never this levels of asshole, or at least The Rock was funny. You know, Roman's not trying to be funny. He's not trying to be witty here. He's. You know, it's the old saying about, you know, if you're gonna be an asshole, at least be funny. You know, Roman's not funny. He's dead serious all the time.
Yeah, so it is, yeah, this segment really did not sit well with me.
No, and we are introducing the Tongan Death Grip as a new finish for Jacob Fatu,
And
which.
that's what also felt really strange about this situation. We're supposed to think that Jacob Fatu is the bad guy in this situation? Because he busted out the Tongan Death Grip. And again, not to harp on Michael Cole too much, but when he's the one calling you like an animal for attacking someone in the way that you do, you're supposed to be the one booed, right? We've
Yeah,
already
typical.
established this, right? So I, wow, it was something like this. Yeah, this segment was wild in my opinion.
It was. It really was. And again, it
And
feels
people
like
were still cheering Roman Reigns. Like,
yeah, oh yeah,
no
oh yeah,
matter
we haven't
what
gotten, oh yeah, oh yeah.
we're stating right
Right. Oh
here
yes.
about
Oh
him being
yes.
an
That
asshole,
that's
people were more than excited to get it behind him about it.
Oh, he is absolutely at that point now where everything he does is going to get cheered and people are just going to be happy to see him.
Yeah, so
No matter what he
that is going
does.
to be interesting if even if he makes a handful of additional appearances. It's going to be interesting to see how this Roman Reigns character evolves, having to actually be on TV.
Yeah, that is an interesting question because he hasn't been for two years. He's gotten his, you know, he gets his he gets the role. He's gotten the Roman Reigns walk to the ring, like when he's someone's getting beat down and Roman's music hits, you know, you're oh yeah, shit's on now. You know, and he's not getting that anymore. If he's gonna be on the show as well, he thinks. And but also before we head out, speaking of music, if you didn't notice, Roman Reigns got his old music back. Not the
Oh.
version that's just the chanting, the version that actually has the beat.
Oh,
The better
well, that,
version,
yeah.
like.
That is always a positive. Someone getting back their better music, always good. Since you mentioned the exit tour, I will be in the Mason, Ohio area, which is just north of Cincinnati. And I may or may not be stopping in at Sonder Brewing. The last time I did, I stopped in and got their Otto, which is a double tiramisu stout to start with. This one happens to be the cowboy cookie edition, and it is a delicious variant of it. The base Otto is very good to start with if you are into imperial stouts. And the couple of variations that I've had on it, because I have had two literally, and both of them have been pretty tasty. So, should one find themselves down at King's Island for any reason or another, my suggestion says go head to Sonder Brewing. You can not only get good beer, but you get good food too. So, Belltime beer of the evening from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Sunk Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.